Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
For Bills fans.
Let's go, Buffalo!
By Bills fans.
Only Buffalo is going to win it!
This is the Buffalo Bills Draft House Podcast with Brad the Bruiser Eichhorn and Alex Jones.
This is pandemonium!
Here's Brad the Bruiser Eichhorn.
And welcome back for another episode of the Buffalo Bills Draft House Podcast. Brad the Bruiser Eichhorn, Alex Jones. We're nearly a week removed from the Bills' 31-10 Thursday night football win over the Miami Dolphins last week. This week, Monday night football, as the Jacksonville Jaguars come to town from Highmark Stadium here. An early kickoff, two games going on this Monday night. Buffalo is the earlier of the two. They are at the 7:30 game. All right, Alex, let's get right into the Miami game from last week. We're already, like we said, a little bit removed, but thoughts on last week's game? I mean, it's a big win, but as far as the media is concerned, as soon as Tua went down, that's all the conversation was going to be.
Yeah, I think it's 50-50, Brad. 50% of the conversation is about Tua, and 50% is about about the Bills and their dominant win. You know, the Bills looked, from post to post, the better team. You know, just really, to be honest with you, they went out there and they kicked Miami in the teeth, and they kept kicking until they felt the ground on the other side. And it wasn't the usual modus operandi for the Bills' win. It was, to be honest with you, Bills went out there and ran the James Cook. Josh Allen, I think, only completed 11 passes through for a total of 15, I think. And, you know, fantasy owners everywhere, you know, were crying at the Josh Allen numbers. But if you had James Cook, you were laughing all the way to a win.
This is true. Yeah. And, you know, with Allen, it reminded me of the Dallas game last year where Allen said it best. You know, it's like the kid who didn't do anything in the group project but still gets an 8. Felt a little bit like that.
Absolutely. You know, the guys, they did what they, you know, everybody did what you expected, right? He went out there and dominated post to post. And if you're Josh Allen, you're like, oh, shucks. Oh,
right?
Shucks. James Cook has 3 TDs and went for this. Like, rats. Rats.
Well, James Cook is Offensive Player of the Week. 3 total touchdowns, most combined touchdowns from a game in his young career. 70 yards and 11 carries, 2 touchdowns on the ground, including a long one that really put the game out of reach there. I mean, everything clicked. Let's be honest. Everything was clicking that night. That they set the tone early. It started with an interception, and it was all Buffalo from there.
Completely, Brad. It was, you know, that first drive. It also went, you know, made me feel confident because McDermott went for it on 4th down. You know, he had a 4th and 2 in plus territory. Normally, you see him kick field goal there, and he said, you know what, I trust the offense. We're going to go for it. They ended up having to call a timeout. Another historic thing that McDermott then gets a little gun-shy and says, you know what, we're going to put the field goal line out there and take the points. And they did do it. He trusted the offense. They drew up a phenomenal play, which was hiring a bunch of different people. And it ended up being the thing that locked the Bills away with their first points.
Yep. He was schemed wide open on that one here. A nice connection from Josh to Cook. Josh's only touchdown on the evening. But, I mean, Buffalo came in and just really imposed his will. Jamarcus Ingram, the whole talk about UB players on Buffalo has been, you know, about Joe Andreessen, but Jamarcus Ingram is another Buffalo Bull on the Buffalo Bills, and 2 picks on this one, including a 31-yard pick 6 that really put the game out of reach.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, good plays by both of them, by Jamarcus Ingram staying with the ball. The first one, just a missed time down with a wide receiver who you heard everybody say had, you know, wasn't used to his timing yet. And then the second one was him just staying with the play, keeping his eyes on the quarterback. Tua just tried to get the ball out of bounds, but with Epinesa and Ed Oliver in his face, just couldn't get enough power in the throw, just lollipoped down the side, and were able to get a pick 6 for a touchdown, and one of the easier pick 6s I've ever seen.
Christian Benford also had a nice interception in this one as well. Von Miller with a sack. I mean, A lot of key contributions, a lot of key splash plays on both sides of the ball. It was one of those games where everything that can go right will go right, like the anti-Murphy's Law.
Yeah, and it was one of those times where everything went your way. We've seen this quite a few times with the Bills. They're a team that does have this happen to them. But it's because those well-prepared teams are that way. You know, they are normally teams that when you're a well-prepared, well-organized team, you tend to be ready.
And, I mean, on the flip side, if you're Miami, you can say they had a Murphy's Law day. Everything that could go wrong did go wrong. The turnovers, the quarterback going down with a concussion. He's now landed on the IR for at least 4 games. I don't know what it is that it doesn't seem to matter who's the coach or who's the quarterback. Since Josh Allen came in the league, he's only lost to Miami twice. I think 13-2 after the win last week.
I think McDermott's like 15-2. The Bills, it's just sometimes certain programs are snake bit. You know, and it should really, you know, honestly, we're one play away from that being 15-0. You know, we're 2 plays away. We're a Charles play drop away from that being 14-1. And we're Josh Allen having a hand cramp away from being at 15-0 because of McKenzie. Wide open the end zone, Josh Allen just couldn't literally grip the ball because his hands were cramping. So, I mean, you know, neither of those were convincing wins for the Dolphins. So it's one of those things where it's like you just have to look and be like, you know what, they just had our number. You know, you hear from Dolphins fans, like, after the game, a lot of them just threw up their hands and were like, if Bills own us, it is what it is. You know, it's like the Bills with the Patriots forever. It doesn't matter what we do, it's never a different outcome.
Buffalo's still getting bitten by the injury bug in this game. It was Terrell Bernard going out with a pec injury. The good news, it didn't sound like it was a tear, and they think that he could be back in about a month. That's huge news.
Yep, a pec strain, so he's out for 4 weeks. And, you know, that extra time on the Monday does get you a lot more practice to be able to get the guys like Baylen Specter and Williams ready to go. It's a young linebacking group, and they're look ahead to the next game. The Jaguars are a good team. The record doesn't show it, but they have a lot of good pieces.
All right, I know this is the Buffalo Bills Draft House podcast, but why don't we weigh on this as well? I don't know. What's your thoughts? What's your feeling on Tua? Should he keep playing? Should he call it a career? Knowing Tua, knowing the competitor he is, I felt my gut all along was like, he will not want to walk away from the game. Maybe his family, his friends might want to get him to, but he's not going to want to do it. That's going to be a tall order here. And all indication is that, no, he doesn't plan on retiring. I'm not surprised by that. But the question is, should he? How do you feel Tua in another concussion?
Listen, I understand, right? The game is taken away from so many of us before we, it's never your choice. Very few people get to choose to walk away from the game. And I think Tua is going to continue to play because that's who he is. This wasn't even a hard hit, right? Like, let's be honest. Let's call space here. DeMar Hamlin can lay the look. He can throw the body around. He didn't hit him hard at all. He didn't lower the shoulder. He literally braced for impact. Tua ran into him at not a fast speed and immediately went into the fencing posture. And that's, and I'm not a neurologist. Everybody knows, but it's just concerning. You know, it's his choice. It's his body. He can do what he wants. But at the same time, like, you can also be like, hey, maybe it is a good idea to hang it up. Like, do you genuinely not want to know who you are at 40 years old? Because the thing is, we know the guys like Junior Seau who played through it, who played through everything and played through multiple concussions and multiple concussions and multiple concussions. And we saw what happened to them. And it comes into a discussion of like, hey, you've had your contract. I know you're a competitor, but you also have to think about, like, you have children now. Are you going to see them drop? Are you going to see your children's children? Do you want to see that? Because here's the thing, if you hear it saying, I got to go out there, I need to do this, you have a family now. And Tua's going to do what he darn well pleases. I just would like to see him consider, simply for the fact that having children, like, you know, you need to be there for them, and you've financially set yourself up to be there for them, but now it's, you know, more of a role of being there physically. You know, it's more of a role of being someone who can be there rather than, you know what, he had so many concussions, now it's in the scary phase. Now it's in a part of it where it's like, is this something that we need to be concerned about his life? I don't think that's the case, but it's not outside the realm of possibility.
Other thoughts on this game here? Let's talk about Tyler Bass. Tyler Bass, I thought, had a decent game other than the missed field goal in the fourth quarter in that one. I was trying to watch it. I was watching again. It looked like someone got a hand on it. Was that partially blocked, or am I crazy?
It looked partially blocked to me. It didn't seem like people thought that, but to me, the way the ball went, it was going straight, and then it veered and dipped. That's normally a blocked kick. That is historically a blocked kick when you see such a dramatic angle shift.
Yeah, from what I saw, I mean, it came out funny looking, and usually when the ball comes out funny, chances are it got a finger, it got something on it, a fingernail at that point, just to deviate the direction and where that ball was headed. So, yeah, I don't know. I thought, you know, through 2 weeks, he's missed one field goal. I thought Bass has actually been solid, but the Bills brought in a little competition, at least on Tuesday this week. Cade York and Anders Carlson both came in, so cutting is not in the cards. It would be a huge cap hit that they can't afford. I think a $7.5 million cap hit. So T. Bass isn't going anywhere. I'm curious if they do decide to bring in another kicker. If just at this point, it's just healthy competition and see what's out there.
Yeah, and I think it's another thing, Brad. Like, let's say theoretically you do, you could put him on the practice squad. If you don't need somebody, call him up and say, hey, you know what? Hey, we've got a guy who's electric from, hey, we know he's good from this distance. We know he's good from XYZ. So you know what? We got to put him in there. Because that's what you got to do. You got to choose what's best for the team.
Other final thoughts here on this Bills 31-10 win over the Miami Dolphins?
The defensive line just continues to dominate, Brad.
Yeah, they did. I mean, they were putting pressure. They were getting to him. Like we said, we saw Vaughn get to him. Von Miller, by the way, he looks like Von Miller of yore right now. He's still obviously a little bit older, but after the shell of him we saw last year coming back from the injury, no, it looks like, who would have thunk it, he's returned to form.
The big thing always with him was his speed. His speed was his greatest tool, and honestly, that's what we saw from him. We saw him get off the ball at such a rate so quickly that sometimes the tackle couldn't even get out of his stance before he was in the backfield. And on his sack today, or during the game, that was the case. He got back there so quickly that Austin Jackson couldn't even get into his stance and get back there. He was grasping the air.
And you're right. I mean, it's that eye-popping bull rush speed that he brings at you that there were several hurries. There was he had a sack in the Cardinal game. That speed's back, and that is encouraging to see at this point.
Absolutely, Brad. It really is. You know, it's great seeing that guy get out there and bring it. He bet on himself, added a bunch of incentives to his contract rather than the full cash. And you know what? You can't blame him.
Well, again, this is the Buffalo Bills Draft House Podcast. Thanks for tuning in here. Find us online at drafthousesports.com. Find us at facebook.com/Buffalo Bills Draft House and across X at DHS Buffalo. Find Alex at TW Callahan DHS. Find me at Bills Bruiser. All right, let's go ahead and flip the page now. So we go from a Thursday night game last week, 11 days off, and now they get set to take on the winless Jacksonville Jaguars. And that very much interests me because it doesn't seem to matter who's at the coach, who's the quarterback. It seems like Jacksonville has just had the Buffalo Bills number. Let's go last year in London. An unfortunate game. We saw Milano go out for ultimately the year in that one. Daquan Jones tore a pec in that one. Terrible. 2 years prior in 21, a game where Jacksonville was winless. Buffalo went down to Jacksonville and lost to them. I don't know. Is it just funk? Is it something in the air? I mean, it's almost unexplainable why the Bills, other than London, Jacksonville had already been there. But the game prior, Buffalo had no business of losing that game. Do you feel like a jinx is into play in this one?
Meyer. They lost it to Urban Meyer, Brad. Statistically the worst coach in NFL history.
Yeah. Yep. So, I don't know.
And I agree. It's just one of the things, Brad, you're right. It feels like the Bills are snake-bitten against the Jaguars. Even going back to E.J. Manuel London days, they lost. In the playoffs, they lost.
Yeah, I remember that game when they came to Orchard Park and beat them. Yep.
Yeah. I think the last one was the Shaq loss in Leonard Fournette fight game. The Jalen Ramsey, Josh Allen is trash game that the Bills won against the Jaguars.
And that would have been 2018. Josh's rookie year. There's no other game in between there. I think you're right. Wow, holy smokes.
Yeah, that was also Robert Foster from Alabama had that long touchdown catch. Josh Allen threw the bomb, and then he ran for the big run, and Leonard Fournette and Shaq Lawson got in a fight on the sideline.
All right.
And then almost had a fight in the tunnel.
All right. I'm going to fact check that throughout, but it's been a little while at least that we recall since the last time the Buffalo Bills beat the Jacksonville Jaguars. Like we said, to our recollection, we'll see if we correct that by the end of this podcast here, but 2018, Buffalo was able to go ahead and get it done. A home game, 24-21. Allen, this says something about Allen's numbers. At the time, 160 yards passing. He had 99 yards rushing that game, but 160 yards passing. Yep, that was rookie Josh Allen.
Absolutely rookie Josh Allen, Brad. Absolutely.
All right, so the Buffalo Bills will take on the Jaguars. They come in at 0-2, but like I said, I'll never, ever take Jacksonville likely. I don't care what their record is. The last time they were winless, we lost to them. And gosh, I would hope that's not the tale this time out.
Sorry, Brad, I was talking there and I was muted. I completely agree, Brad. It seems like this is the time for the Bills to get the monkey off their back. Gabe Davis and Mitch Morse coming back to town, a bit of a reunion, if you want to call it a revenge game.
Yes,
yep, those
two guys coming back, yep.
It's time for the Bills to put their foot down. They have a really tough schedule this year, and with all these injuries, they really need to take advantage of every single game they can.
And just to put it out there, a pun for the review, yes. Last time Buffalo beat Jacksonville, it was here at Highmark Stadium, and it was in 2018, and that was the last time they were here because 21, they were in Jacksonville, and then 23, technically Buffalo was a home team, but they weren't. They played in London at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. It's not Highmark, so we'll see.
At best, it's a neutral site game, Brad. So right now, the series, the Bills and Jaguars have played 19 times in history. The Jaguars lead the series 10-9. Jeez. The last two results, 2023 against in London, the Bills lost. 2021, the Bills lost. 2018, the Bills won. 2016, the Bills won. And 2015, the Bills lost. So in their last five, it is 2-3. Last six is 3.
You know, when I think back to, you already alluded to some of the current or former Bills currently on the Jaguars and Gabe Davis and Mitch Morris, I think of some other Bills who have gone to Jacksonville. The most eye-popping name, Marcel Darius, you could say, no, that's not who I was thinking. I was thinking of Paul Posluszny, who I thought had a bright future. He said, oh, yeah, I want to be back. First day free agency, boom, signs with Jacksonville.
Yeah, and it's just, it is crazy to think about all those guys who have transitioned over, because you're right, there's been quite a few. Paul Posluszki is another one. Actually, when I was in high school, one of the guys I played with broke his ankle in a game, had to get surgery, and his uncle was the surgeon for the Bills at the time and did the surgery, and ended up actually, in Paul Posluszki's last year with the Bills, he broke his arm, I believe. And so Paul Posluszki's surgery got delayed because a friend of mine needed surgery on his ankle.
Unbelievable. Wow. All right, so the Jacksonville Jaguars, like we said, they come to town. They come in winless on the year. They just fell to Cleveland over the weekend, final score of 18-13. It was a three-point game, but Trevor Lawrence took a safety late in that game. With about a buck 44 remaining. So that really helped kind of kill things completely for Jacksonville in this one.
Yeah, and it felt like Jacksonville was never really in it. I was watching through Red Zone on Sunday, being a Thursday night game, you get, you know, the access to watch those Red Zone games. It just didn't seem like Jacksonville was ever really in it. It almost seems like they were so snake-bitten from that fumble in Miami that they just never recovered.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, someone pointed out today that basically Jacksonville has played six lousy quarters in a row. They played a good half against Miami, and that was it. And will we see a return this week?
Exactly that, Brad. You know, you hope to see the turnaround if you're a Jacksonville fan, but, like, a lot of those times you see those things and it is really easy for those things to compound on you. You know, it almost gets into the blood of the team where you see a promising team and they have one of those small things fall early, and after that it just kind of falls apart on them.
Yeah. Other things that I think contribute in the storylines of this game, we talk about Mitch Morris, and I heard someone from Jacksonville on the radio today that was saying, you know, that was a nice ad, but the offensive line is terrible, that just Trevor Lawrence doesn't have the time to throw the football, and that's really the major issue, that Mitch Morris helps, but not much.
Yeah, and I think from the center position, you know, Brad, that doesn't really help the pass rush. The pass rush is very much from the tackles inward. And so, and especially against a team who are three deep at defensive end, you have A.J. Epinesa, you have Greg Rousseau, and you have Vaughn Miller, who A.J. Epinesa, or Greg Rousseau and Vaughn Miller right now look like absolute world beaters. You know, they are playing a season of their lives, and it really seemed like Miami sort of focused their entire offensive game plan around stopping Greg Rousseau because there's so many double teams going his way. And then after that, Vaughn Miller gets opened up, and I think you're going to see a flip-flop throughout the season of those two things happening where, you know what, we're going to guard Greg. Well, Vaughn has a crazy game. All right, we got to guard Vaughn. Greg has a crazy game.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, you have Ed Oliver in there getting a sack. You know,
yep.
It really seems like this defense is coming alive.
And I think the defense is going to need to have a strong day, set the tone early in this one. Pass rush, get it home early on Lawrence, and set yourself up for success. For the offense, I would say it's what they preached. Everyone eats, distribute the football, run the football well, sustain drives, first downs, basic stuff.
Yeah, absolutely, Brad. I mean, you got to get James Cook going early. Teams have been able to run on the Jaguars, and you got to have him going. Open up that run game. Open up those holes. The Bills, you know, that's where a lot of I also could easily see the Bills going back to a heavy pass attack. It seems like the Titans' secondary is really weak right now. They had a cluster of injuries at corner. And so if the Bills could get a quick game passing attack with Shakir and Kincaid going, I could see the Bills really exploiting that to big advantage. You know, the Titans are thinking they got Jeffrey Simmons up the middle. They have a really good defensive line. Hey, we're gonna load up against the run. All of a sudden, you see a lot of screen games, a lot of quick routes to Khalil and Shakir, and to Dalton Kincaid, to Dawson Knox, even to Keon Coleman. Curtis Samuel hasn't been used. This feels like a big time Curtis Samuel gadget game. I would be a guy. You know, if I were a betting man, I would definitely put a little money on Curtis Samuel's yardage numbers, because they got to be in the basement at the moment.
All right, so we said two games coming up on Monday night. Buffalo, Jacksonville, the first game that'll be at 7:30, then at 8:15, it's the Commanders and the Bengals. That game is on ABC. Buffalo will be on ESPN. Chris Fowler on play-by-play, Dan Orlovsky and Lewis Riddick in the booth with him on color for that game. So, yep, not quite the typical Monday Night Football with these double, it's not even a double header, they're not back-to-back in this one, but two games on this Monday night here. I already sold my ticket, so I'm looking forward to just kicking back at home and enjoying this one.
Yeah, I have mine up for sale, and I'm just waiting for somebody to jump at it. You know, one thing I noticed this year, Brad, it seems like ticket prices have gone down a little bit. You know, last year and the year before, you were getting like almost $200 for a ticket, and it seems like the downturn really moved its way into the secondary ticket market.
Yeah, right? It's been different, but it's still very early. You know, let's remind ourselves, take a step back, take a breath. We're only at week two. It's so easy to overreact, especially after week one. But even at week two, I feel like everyone out in America has this mat with different conclusions written on it that you put on the floor and that you jump to. It feels like everyone has a jump to conclusions mat so early in the year. It's such a long season. We have such a long way to go. It's a marathon, not a sprint at this point. And this week, I just hope that in this long sprint, no more major injuries. Bernard was a crushing injury, but we saw Baylen Spector come in, hold his own in that one. They did fine, and they're going to ask more of him this week.
And I think, Brad, that's going to be a point of attack for the Jaguars. I think they are going to be really aggressive against – they're going to be running right at Baylen Spector and Dorian Williams. You know, it's going to be a big game for them. They both really need to step up and fill the big shoes that they're leaving behind.
Yeah, and with that note here, Spector coming in, he'll probably play the middle linebacker role, so – I think Buffalo gets their wish. Buffalo Joe Andreessen out of Lancaster, New York, or Depew, New York, and Lancaster High School. Sounds like he may very well have a strong chance of dressing in this game. Probably playing mainly special teams, but he should see some action in this one.
Man, I'll tell you what, Brad. The stadium is going to go absolutely bananas. If he, in his first start ever for the Bills, if he goes out there that first big kick the ball off on return, and Andreessen goes down there, makes a big splash player, causes a turnover, anything like that, the stadium would explode, honestly.
Yeah, it'll go crazy. Everyone's going to be rocking on this one. It's going to be a great environment. I'm sure I'll hear it from where we are here in the greater Buffalo area. But looking forward to this one, 7:30 kickoff on ESPN. All right, final thoughts as we lead into Jacksonville at Buffalo.
You know, just keep going. You know, you gotta keep chugging. And this feels like a classic setback game, a game the Bills, you know, historically would look bad at, that Josh would throw a couple picks in. But I think, honestly, the offense has kind of changed now. You know, Josh doesn't need to force the ball anymore. Josh doesn't need to force feed one specific person over and over again. Everybody's good. It's almost like the ego has been taken out of this team. And in place of that, you've seen this production of spread across multiple receivers. The first game, 10 guys getting receptions. You know, last game, James Cook basically being handed the game and saying, here, just take it. And he took it and run with it. And so I think that, you know, I think you'll see that from this game. I think there's going to be somebody who we thought going into it was going to be a big piece and ends up not being a huge piece.
You know, I think this word can be used to sum up really what's happened underneath McDermott. But really, this team this year, selfless. This is a selfless squad through two games. That's the word I'm throwing out here early on in the season. Right now, this team is showing that they are selfless.
Yeah, it's the next man up mentality, Brad. It's that I got it, I'm up. You know, you got to step up and make that play, make a big play, and that's what they've done. That's what every single person has done so far.
And I know it's early, but right now they haven't skipped a beat. The good news is Bernard is going to come back. Milano, hopefully the forecast or prognosis on him is December. Hope he's back by then. But at least that's the good news, is that some of these guys may very well get healthy and return to the field when they need them down the stretch. But right now, like you said, Alex, difficult schedule. I don't care about any game in the past here. This is a game that Buffalo needs to win.
You know, Brad, the old saying is the most important game is the next one.
Yeah. And you hear that out of Josh Allen, you hear that rhetoric come out of their mouths, and that's where we'll let it stand here. Buffalo needs to go ahead and win this next one. Well, that's going to do it for the Buffalo Bills Draft House podcast. Of course, find us online. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/Buffalo Bills Draft House, at www.drafthousesports.com. Find Alex at TW Callahan DHS. Find the site at DHS Buffalo. You can find me at Bills Bruiser. For Alex Jones, I am Brad the Bruiser Eichhorn. Go Bills.
This has been the Buffalo Bills Draft House Podcast.
Available on Spotify, Odyssey, Prime Music, Audible, or wherever you get your podcasts.
An R Street Media production.